What's going on, guys? Listen, in recruiting, you win some and you lose some. We've talked about the heater the Badgers have been on, but today we're going to talk about quarterback recruiting or the lack thereof. We got Justin on the show. A lot of chop up with USC and UCLA news as well. All that and more in today's Locked On Badgers.
You are Locked On Badgers, your daily podcast on the Wisconsin Badgers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Ryan Herring, your host of Locked On Badgers. Thank you for joining us again as we continue to build this community. Thank you for making it one of your first listens every single day. We really, really appreciate it. We got Justin Jolka joining the show, you know, and he is not excited about quarterback recruiting. For those of you who are listening on the podcast, and we love all of our listeners on the pod and on YouTube, Justin was just pounding his face into the desk. So we're going to kick off the show, like we mentioned, Lincoln Kindholz, who really had been really the last big target on Wisconsin's quarterback board, committed to the University of Washington. I almost said University of Wisconsin. I almost tried to talk it into existence, like LaMelo's dad. What's his name? LeVar Ball tried to talk it into existence.
It starts with an L, I'm sure.
Here's the problem. So Wisconsin struck out on their latest quarterback recruit, and there's nobody left. And just for the record, I went to 247. I went to 0-3. There are no other listed offers for a quarterback in this cycle except for a five-star that's going to go to Oregon. So, yeah. Justin, I'm just going to kick it over to you. Wherever you want to go with this one.
I have the same feel that I had when Greg Gard used to reach out to one kid and put him on a pedestal and say, "You're our guy. You're going to be the only guy we're going to offer," and then promptly watch that kid blow up and get taken away by a blue blood. We consistently would lose out and then would be sitting there, and it would be halfway through the cycle and you have no relationships really built. Nobody's really ready to, you know, be taken in. My gut on this, we have this habit of making it seem like Wisconsin's far more prestigious than they are, especially at a position that we have
recruiting staff.
Yes. Especially from a position that historically we have not made a prestigious position at our school. It's just not. Quarterbacks are not something that kids that you can walk into a kid and be like, "You're our guy," because it's like, okay, cool. I get to be the guy who throws 15 times a game when we play an overmatched opponent. You're not winning anybody over with that. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, the only places where that type of offer can be sent out is if you're USC when they're good, you know, Clemson, Ohio State, Alabama. They can walk into a kid's living room and say, "You're our guy at quarterback." And we can't do that here. Like, it's not a position that you can look at and say, "Hey, you get to be the guy here. You get to be the guy who hands the ball off 50 times a game." Like, that's just not something that kids are looking to do. And that's what we've been hearing back this cycle from the two guys we really wanted and we missed on. Kindholz and Braden Dorman both said that. I wouldn't say Kindholz said that, but Dorman definitely did, that he didn't want to go to Wisconsin because he looked at the offense and said, "This is an offense that's going to showcase me." Right. And there's people who look at that and say, "Well, that's not that big a deal. You know, you can excel anywhere." And yeah, you can excel at Wisconsin. It's possible to do, but we don't have a track record of it. And we have a lot more of a track record of game managers that are throwing 10 passes a game like we did with 8 last year at Purdue, you know, where we're just like, "Oh, we're just going to lean on the run game and carry us through this." We can do that against a lot of teams. And I don't think that is a good habit to get into, because you can't do that against the elite teams. Even if you have a really good offensive line, if you face a really good defense that plays together, it doesn't matter. 11 guys against 6 is not going to work in your favor.
So you're suggesting overhauling the offense, it feels like.
I'm suggesting that they need to be competent enough that they're if they're going to talk the talk of being a 50-50 offense, which I think is fair. I think when I say that you need to be 50-50, I'm saying that you need to be 50-50 for the part of the game that matters. If you're up 3 touchdowns, go ahead and salt it away. But until you get that type of a lead on a team, it should be balanced. You should be throwing the ball as much as you're running the football, and you need to put a pressure on a defense. Wisconsin doesn't play that way.
No, and I they feel need like to though, get to that. I feel like this conversation is going in two directions. You're talking almost a larger philosophical thing. And I'm almost more focused just on quarterback recruiting this cycle.
Yeah, and that's fair.
I don't think, but I can go any way you want to go on this one. I'm flexible.
No, well, I think they need
to go 50-50, though, just from the jump. I don't think Wisconsin should go 50-50.
That's fair. When we're talking philosophical view of recruiting, my view on it is they need to be far more aggressive with quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. I think there's certain positions where you can be, say you're our guy, outside linebacker, offensive lineman. You know, those are positions we've historically now recruited very well. You can't do that at quarterback. At quarterback, shotgun out offers, have five or six guys that you feel really strongly about and treat them all the same. And effectively go first come, first served on this. You know, we like all of you, and hey, we would love to have you here, but we like these other guys too. And if you're not willing to commit to us, then I'm sorry, we're going to have to move on, because we've gotten burned way too much at quarterback. And it happened last cycle too. No, I think you and I both feel that Burkett has some pluses to him, but he effectively was a guy we ended up offering because our board cleared and we ended up having to go. He was a guy we felt strongly that was a solid talent that was gettable for us. And he may very well turn into a good quarterback here, but he was not a guy that was at the top of our board.
No, I think he was somewhere in between top of the board, though, and like a plan C guy. Like he was a solid recruit for sure.
He was a guy that, let's put it this way, he did not receive the offers that he probably should have.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I want to talk about, because I agree with you on the other point. If you have a bad quarterback room, I think if we're being honest, and we always try to keep it real, this is not a good quarterback room in terms of Big Ten, right? In terms of Power Five legit programs. You have Chase Wolf, who was never proven anything, and quite frankly, I think we know what he is. Graham Mertz was underperformed dramatically last year.
And nobody challenging him.
You have Miles Burkett and Deacon Hill, Deacon Hill was young last year, but he didn't even travel with the team. There's a lot of question marks here. And where I'm going is dovetailing into your point. If you have a quarterback room that isn't very good, and you get to a point where you only have one offered quarterback on your board, that's a problem. Mm-hmm. Like you have to have multiple options.
There's no urgency. The other issue that I have with that is I've heard people say like, oh, there's young talent on that. It's like, listen, I can appreciate you being very, you know, excited about some of the young guys we brought in. But the reality of this is this. Mertz is statistically a bottom quarterback in college football. Like there's no other way to look at it. I think he was ranked like in the 80s or 90s in overall quarterback rating, something like that for the year. And if there's nobody challenging that, and there's not, like we heard after spring football, that there's nobody that is pushing him. That is not a good room. I'm sorry. You can't lean on these guys and say there's a lot of talent and there's, you know, a lot of potential there and say we have an awful quarterback and those guys aren't pushing him and say that there's a lot of potential there. Now they may turn into something in a year or two, but as of right now, I'm going to view the entire quarterback room as misses until we see somebody that's actually challenging Mertz.
Well, I don't think it's fair to call Deacon or Burkett a miss, but I think it's fair to say question marks, right?
Well, at this point,
question marks.
We're going to have like, yes, they're question marks. I mean, I don't want to say that these guys can't turn in anything because that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that potential is potential until it's realized. And at this point, nobody has realized anything other than Mertz, who's been bad. There's the fact that they're not challenging is problematic given the fact that he was this bad.
It's also an issue where, again, to your point, not to be the dead horse, but it seemed like all the eggs became in Lincoln Kynholt's basket.
Yeah.
And that let's even break it down one step further. That's maybe okay if he's like a five-star, right? Like this is a three-star quarterback, and it felt like all of our eggs in there. And once we lost him, I did a deep dive to try to look on Twitter, look in Bobby Engram, Keller Christ, look at any quarterbacks they followed, looked on recruiting sites to see any offers. The only remotely kind of guy I found was Reese Mooney, who's a three-star kid out of Louisiana, followed Bobby Engram. He mentioned at one point in May that he'd like to visit Wisconsin. My point is there's nothing there. Mm-hmm. There's nobody that they've been like really on top of. And it felt like once Lincoln fell through just recently, well, there's nowhere to pivot. And this is a huge class to get a quarterback because
and we're late in recruiting quarterback.
We're super late in the game. So the transfer market maybe like there's new avenues now in college football, but like you have to bring in quarterback talent continually. You can't leave the worst position on our roster, also the most important position in football, continually understocked. This is a problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can't afford. Wisconsin is the one school that can't afford to miss, because if we miss, we potentially go two or three cycles before we get anybody that is even that we feel super confident in. So like we already missed a year. And it almost feels like that's what we're on track to do again. Like the year after Mertz, we took no one. And it kind of feels like that's what's going on again. And it's like, we can't afford to. We're already low on terms of scholarship quarterbacks. And I love the kids that we have there, but I'd much rather say we have 7 mid-3 stars than we have 3 mid-3 stars. Because your odds are just better at hitting on someone.
They have to get somebody. If they don't bring a quarterback in this cycle, it's a failure, period.
Yeah.
Even if you're just flipping like a 2-star guy with a decent arm, you have to get somebody into the room because you don't know with quarterbacks.
That's what I was going to say. I think that it like we look at this and we act like quarterback recruiting is an exact science. And I just don't think it is. Like if you see guy out there that you like the physical tools of, you could take a raw kid and have just as much a chance of turning him into it. Like I brought up earlier today, I was talking to somebody and I said, I'd almost like to see them take a kid at a school that isn't a power, that he plays on a bad team that's like running for his life almost, because at least then you know he's quick and he's making decisions. Like he's direct and saying, this is where I'm going with the ball. He's got to make those quick decisions because his team isn't good enough for him to sit back there and do it. And we see that all the time where these 4-stars are on stacked teams and they sit back there and they throw 50 touchdown passes, but there's nobody in their lap. Like they don't have to make quick decisions. The one thing I would
say is we're still early. Like I think what I'm hoping will happen, and I think this is possible and even likely, is the Badgers shift to recruiting high school kids and they start looking at a flip. They look at somebody.
I think that's most likely where they end up.
And that's why we don't really have
somebody else's
a name. Yeah, but it could be a Ball State kid. It could be a Northern Illinois kid. You know, you have to add to this class. Or to the quarterback room, I think they'll still do it. If they don't, I think it's a failure.
Oh yeah,
It would be a massive miss if they didn't add anybody. I think they will. I think they absolutely because I think they
will. Well, we'll
they
take somebody. I just don't have any clue what we're looking at this point because, to be quite frank, there's nothing that's been put out there. Like kids put their offers out there all over the place. If
that's
there
why
was
I think
though,
they
offered,
might be working on a flip. I think that's why they might be shifting towards a flip. Those things are a little quieter usually.
Yeah. We won't hear about that until likely they're coming over. But even a quarterback, you'd almost expect it to leak.
Yeah. Well, I mean, speaking of leaks, USC UCLA didn't leak right until that was about happening.
Yeah, no kidding. That's impressive to me.
That is incredibly impressive. And that's called a segue. We're going to talk about that next segment. USC UCLA coming to the Big Ten. I did a really brief, drop on that. But we're going to get Justin's thoughts and dive into it a little deeper. But first, today's show is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline remains your number one source for all your sports betting needs and information, live Vegas games, blackjack, roulette. And it's a great time to get on BetOnline, do it responsibly, have some fun. NFL futures are hitting, college futures are hitting. Again, we've talked about it's if you have a feel for a team, especially with all the NBA moves recently, right? We're talking about Durant maybe moving. We're talking about the Spurs blowing it up, the Hawks adding players, maybe Ayton to the Wolves. There's tons of stuff happening. If you have a great feel on an NBA team, this is a wonderful time. Take a few dollars and put some money on somewhere. Put some money, test your sports knowledge, have some fun with friends. The website's super easy to use, intuitive. There's a reason we use it on Locked On. Head to the website today, use your mobile device, learn more about the trends and actions. Bet online where the game starts. Thank you again, everybody, for making Locked On Badgers your first listen, one of your first listens every day. We really do appreciate it. We're going to bring Justin back on. We're going to talk the really just bombshell. I almost want to say out of nowhere. I mean, there have been very slight whispers at times that the Big Ten was interested in USC. But what are your initial thoughts here? USC, UCLA to the Big Ten, basically confirmed now.
Oh, it's been confirmed. They're in.
Yeah.
I think you and I discussed this last year when Texas and Oklahoma went to the SEC, that this was the likely move. And I think we both agreed that if USC was coming, UCLA would come because they're brother and sister. I think we knew that USC had to be the focal point of that. They're the linchpin of the entire Pac-12. You pull that and then you can basically grab whatever you want. And I think that what we've seen so far, this is not the end of us picking over the Pac-12. I think what it was is we got the biggest kind of piece out of the way, and because we knew everyone else would kind of fall in line after that and start. We knew it was going to become a land grab effectively. Those teams were going to freak out everyone else that was there, and it would be much easier bargaining with everyone else, and kind of we could pick who we wanted at that point. I think we can both agree probably that with things being somewhat regional as they are, those teams are going to probably want to stick with UCLA and USC just because it gives them some flexibility. I don't know how your thoughts are on it. I think that honestly, there's probably two more teams initially here. We may get bigger than this. And I could see the Big Ten potentially going to 20 teams.
Wow.
And doing five team groupings. So it wouldn't shock me to see us take a few more and say, all right, you're going to be our West. Then we'll have a Midwest or North or, you know, a South and then an East Coast. I don't know how that would break down. I think there's people throwing stuff out there. I think the bulk of it would be Pac-12 teams because I think that makes the most sense. I could see us grabbing somebody from the East Coast, like taking two more teams, or what are we at? 14 now?
14 now, so 16 okay. with these.
So 16 with these two. I think we're probably looking at 2 to 3 more teams off of the Pac-12.
Well, hold on. That's getting into our next segment a little bit.
I won't dive too in depth.
But what's coming up next? I want to say one of the interesting things,
by the way.
Yeah, that's kind of where I went earlier, and that's kind of what I wanted to validate with you. You know, when Maryland Rutgers came in, it felt like a move that on paper made sense, but everything else felt weird.
Like as a fan, you looked at it and you're like, "Why do we want this?" Yeah,
no, and you still feel like that. Like
it was a business move for TV markets,
right? You can understand it on paper. Like if an accountant looked at that, an accountant and wrote it down, it's like, "Oh yeah, this makes sense." But USC and UCLA feels like a sense. It feels like that makes sense from a football standpoint.
Two absolutely historical.
Yes,
like you can't get better than adding that. Like there's so much history there associated with not only their rivalry with each other, but how they're viewed in the college football landscape.
Yep.
They bring basketball quality also to the conference. There's a lot to like there. Both of them are baseball powers. So, I mean, there's a lot that across the board from athletic programs, they're very, very strong schools.
Great jerseys. The script UCLA is an excellent helmet,
which actually kind of fits into the Big Ten.
Mm-hmm.
I love the move. I think that either one of them is a head coaching move away from being a juggernaut. It's just how it is. Like UCLA is probably a step down.
USC just did that.
Yep. I think UCLA they require a little more work, but I still think that they're a team that can very quickly jump back up with the right hire. And I don't care about fan bases and the seats for these games. Like LA is one of those cities that it's whoever's the next coolest thing. And if you end up being good, you'll have fans in the seats.
Mm-hmm.
If UCLA is winning 11 games in a season, they're going to be playing to a very full stadium. If USC is winning 11, 12 games in a season, they're going to have a full stadium. Why? Because they're going to be playing for the playoffs and people are going to view them as a powerhouse again.
Well, let me give you two more reasons why, to me, this is awesome. The first is it just makes it easier to recruit a powerhouse state. Mm-hmm. Not that you couldn't go to California before. Wisconsin's done it at times. It just makes it easier, if they're in conference. The other thing, though, and the bigger thing for me is the Big Ten media deal's coming up. And now you've added USC. Are you kidding me? In a world of NIL, in a world of who has the most money, all this does is pump cash into the Big Ten, which, by the way, is already the richest conference.
Yeah.
Like, it's already the richest. And this media people are going to drool over the conference with Penn State, Ohio State, Wisconsin, you know, Michigan, USC. Are you kidding me?
And to be quite frank, I know we're talking about these two, but and not to bleed into the next segment, but it's expected to come through very quickly, some of these other changes. So I think that the conference has thought ahead with a lot of this in terms of who they want to add. And it's just a matter of having that those people be on board. So I will say this. Yes, it is pumping cash into the conference. At some point here, now you have to start looking at it. And it becomes like we talk about the recruiting and everything else that's associated with it. You know, there's a lot of luxury that can go along with this. A lot of that can be done for these schools in terms of what it is. It really stings some of the other schools that are being left on the outside.
That's horrible for them.
It's going to absolutely crush those conferences.
Yeah, we've already seen it, right? We've already seen the Big 12 scramble to add schools that aren't very good to try to fill gaps that they can't fill. And we're going to see it with the Pac-12. And, you know, you can imagine as a Wisconsin fan, what would it be like to be an Arizona fan or an Arizona State fan or an Oregon State fan or, you know, any of these schools that are getting left behind? I mean, it's awesome being in the conference of halves and, quite frankly, being one of the upper echelon teams in a conference of halves. You know, Wisconsin is the fourth or fifth best program in the Big Ten on the low end.
Well, and I think everyone was concerned, like was tired of hearing how bad the West was. Well, these teams are likely headed into the West.
So that's going to lead into our balancing. Next segment. I'm curious how you think this is going to balance out. I want to jump into that next.
I don't know if it's going to be, I don't know if it's going to be a geographical. I'll just say that. Because I don't know. I mean, there's something to be said for just kicking a team over, but I don't know if USC is that strong yet that you look at them and go, well, you know, they're the Ohio State of the West yet either. Because we kind of felt the same way about Nebraska when they came in.
They were meant to be that for sure. Mm-hmm. They were meant to be the balancer, and Wisconsin has murdered them. All right, coming up next, we are going to, since I can't keep Justin from talking about what happens next, coming up next, we are going to talk a little bit about what happens next. Well, who do we think are other schools the Big Ten might target? What makes sense? How do we want the division aligned? Do we want pods, divisions, all that coming up? We're just going to do kind of a surface level skim on it. But first, today's show is brought to you by the following sponsors. Thank you again, as always, for making Lockdown Badgers your first listen every day. Bringing Justin back into the show. All right, let's talk a little bit about what happens next. So USC, UCLA coming in by 2024 is what is being reported. Do you think the Big Ten, which had already been on the track to scrap the divisions, right? That had already been kind of thrown out there, and I think it was happening. How do they do this now? Do they go into pods? Do they go back to divisions?
Sure. I think it will actually go to pods. If they're going to do it smart, you play your own pod, you grab another one, and then you want to have some rivalries or whatever that you think are a good idea to play outside of that. I honestly don't know what the perfect is because right now we're at what? Nine conference games,
14 teams. So if you go, you add the 2 years, 16, you could do 4 14 pods essentially. You play everybody in your pod, everybody in another pod, and then one protected rivalry, and then the other pod could rotate around. That would give you 9 conference games.
The problem with that is the protected rivalry is already likely to be somebody in your pod. Like you're not going to split up Ohio State and Michigan. They'll probably still be in a pod.
If they just gave them a protected rivalry? I don't know. Like, if you just made Michigan Ohio State a protected rivalry, I don't think it matters what pod they're in.
Yeah. So here's something to think about. I think this might be a more likely possibility here. Do you think it's possible we just jump to 18 after this? Like, I think we may legitimately add 2 more teams yet. I think Washington is very likely to come. Because I think I could see the Big Ten saying we want that Seattle media market.
I don't think Washington would come without Washington State, unless that's your.
I don't think so. I'm curious to see how intertwined they are. It's you could be right, but you and I both know Oregon would walk away from Oregon State.
Oregon doesn't even know who Oregon State is. Although I shouldn't say that. They do have an annual rivalry game, which you can still play out of conference, by the way. Iowa State play every year. Like that's totally doable.
I think there's going to be a couple of teams from the Pac-12 that we grab yet. I don't know who they are, but it sounds like there's been kind of whispers that teams are aggressively now
I'm sure
coming at the Big Ten to be like, wait, don't leave us behind, because now two of the linchpins of the conference are gone and they're like, oh, we have to go somewhere. We don't want to go to the Big 12. And the SEC is probably not looking for us. Like the biggest part pieces that the SEC would want would likely be USC.
Oregon.
Maybe Oregon.
That's such a weird fit for the Southeastern Conference.
Well, because it's not a money fit. Like you're banking on Oregon. Like you can't bank on a team being good forever. And that's the problem. Because if Oregon falls off, they don't have the alumni base and they don't have the media market in that area to be worthwhile to carry around. And if they're bad, here's the thing that's going to happen. When you keep dumping good teams into a conference, parity is going to happen because you're going to have more games against better opponents, which is going to lead to more losses across the board. So some of these teams are going to drop, which is why last year when you and I talked about Texas and Oklahoma going to the SEC, it's like, congrats, you guys are going to go from being the kings of a conference to likely being like second, third, fourth in a division.
Wait. We can't call Texas the king of even a bad conference. Yeah, come on now. Oklahoma.
But the historically.
Right. I get you.
Which is what I'm speaking to. And it's like, you guys are about to get curb stomped in a new conference where you're just not the king of the hill anymore.
Yeah, you're
like
not the
bully. Alabama is the king of the SEC. And that ain't changing, Bama, even if you guys come there.
Yeah, yep. you're not the bully anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting to me because I really actually do feel for, especially like the Pac-12 schools who are academic schools.
There's a lot of history there. It really stinks.
Those schools, even if they had an exit ramp to the SEC, like that's not a conference that fits their culture.
No. Stanford? Oh, God, no.
No,
Stanford wants to come to the Big Ten now.
Oh, absolutely.
No, there's no doubt in my mind. I don't know. So right now we're in a down period for Stanford, right? They're a mediocre Pac-12 team effectively. Now we know that they have a capability of jumping up and being a good team. Like they're effectively an Iowa, Wisconsin type team. You know, with a little bit more pop to them just because they're located in California from a recruiting standpoint. So they're a team that their peak is probably about what Wisconsin is, but their downside is their floor is lower. So you look at it and you're like, okay, do we want this? Because the likelihood is somewhere in the middle. And if that's a team that's roughly going to be between Iowa and Northwestern on a traditional basis. Yeah.
Not exciting. Great academic school, right?
Yes, and that's the profile. That is the part that the Big Ten may look at and say,
the Big Ten digs
you're worth us bringing in from an academic standpoint because you're extremely prestigious. Mm-hmm. They have the biggest endowment of any non-Ivy League school probably in the country.
They're going to check boxes, but still – you probably get most of the California viewership with USC, UCLA, and you do. Right?
I agree with that.
So if you're looking for really expanding into markets, I mean, you could definitely look into the ACC. They've done that before. You could definitely say Georgia Tech has always been the person.
The problem with the ACC is their media deal. And they are locked in, I believe, for a prolonged period of time. I don't know what the buyout is to that and how likely it is something like that can happen. And that's because that's kind of what I was talking about with going East Coast. Like, who would you want off the East Coast if you were going to? Like, in a perfect world, you probably want to grab Miami. You'd probably go after.
Do you want Miami, though?
You want the Florida media market. That's what you're playing for. And I'm not necessarily sure that they fit the SEC, I think, more than they fit.
Yeah, that feels like a very odd fit for the Big Ten.
But I could see, like, that's the reason you take them, is that you're taking the media market. I think honestly, if we're looking at teams that fit, and I don't know, and you and I have kind of discussed how we don't necessarily love them, I think Virginia fits kind of like from an academic / somewhat old school fit from that standpoint. I mean, they have basketball, even though they kind of
it's just such another garbage football team to add, though, from the East Coast. Like, you've added Rutgers, Maryland. Georgia Tech? Because you get Atlanta. Atlanta's a gigantic
but
market.
They're
also garbage.
Really move
but,
the needle
if,
for
but
football,
if you're telling me Georgia
and they don't
Tech
move
or
for
Virginia,
basketball either.
Yeah, but if you're telling me Georgia Tech or Virginia, I would rather
from
get
it. From a media market standpoint, yes. If we're looking at it from an overall athletic program, I'd take Virginia.
Yeah, but I don't think the Big Ten looks at it like that. Outside of like USC, like his.
Well, I think there's. I think there's a balance. I think there's a balance. Like if you're saying Clemson over any of them, like the Big Ten would gladly take that.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. What about Florida State or Miami?
I just think there's been so much negative pub that's come out of Florida State that I have a hard like both of them.
Both
like
of
they're
them,
they're right? Both of them are like so dirty. Something that we really look at and we're like, do we really want to hitch our wagon to two schools that are known for bending rules and having poor academic scandals and things like that? Which
so why don't we just stay in the left coast? Why don't we do Washington? And
I think there's a possibility. I think Washington. I think like I know we're not high on it, but I could see Stanford being pulled in. But does Stanford come without Cal? Do you think they're tied? I don't know if they're that tied.
There's some schools that are really going to get left out on the dance floor in this one.
They are.
And that's like, unfortunate.
Like, yeah. Like, I feel bad, honestly, for Utah, who is a program that has really come around in the last
they built 5 years. Up.
But I don't know if they have enough to offer from a viewership standpoint or even from a outside of football standpoint to say, you really move the needle with us.
No, I'd be stunned if Utah. Like if they went into that area, they would go for Colorado, right, to get Denver.
Do you think a school potentially like Baylor would be worth?
I don't think Baylor.
There's been a lot of negative things. Yeah, I was gonna say. Not even just Baylor, dating back to the basketball.
Yeah, stuff that I think there would be zero chance for Baylor. God love Dave Aranda. There would be zero chance there.
If this was 15 years down the line, I think it would have a better chance at it. It's just everything's too fresh.
And quite frankly, I don't think that market moves the needle. I don't think that program moves the needle. It's full of scandals recently. Yeah. Art Briles did everything he did there. I think that thing is a dumpster.
I just think athletically, they're moving in the very much the right direction.
But you just made the point with Oregon that you can't base it on.
Yeah, I agree. That being said, I do think there's a chance they take Oregon because there's a lot of money associated with that school.
I would say Oregon before Baylor.
Yeah.
All right. I think we're just rambling at this point.
Kind of.
Which is awesome. The point of the show was like this just happened and we're still processing.
Yeah.
And
I think that's important. But, I want to say this before we finish up. I think it's more likely they jump to 18, but from a standpoint of being simple for them to work with it, it's better to stay at 16 from how it breaks down.
Yeah,
because you can't really do three divisions of six and make it work out. No, you can't because you can't just play an entire another group. You'd have to round robin it in some way.
Yeah. No, I think 16 works really well as a number. We're going to have a lot more on this, everybody that's listening.
There's a lot of stuff that hasn't happened
yet. I'm really excited to get some USC, UCLA folks on to talk to them. Justin, certainly you're free to jump on the show. And when we get those people on to talk with us, get a three-way kind of just a roundtable type discussion there. So everyone, they appreciate you listening. I had a bit of a sore throat today, but I powered through like Leo Chanel. I take no reps off. And we're going to continue getting everybody just great content. So appreciate everyone tuning in.
I feel like you've just insulted Leo Chanel.
No, I compared myself to Leo. We're on the same. No, we're not. When you're done here, everybody listen to Locked On Big Ten. Nate Dickinson is the local expert. Brings in all the stuff from all across the Big Ten to get you caught up on everything happening in the conference. Really appreciate everybody tuning in. If you enjoy the show, if you enjoy Justin, leave a comment, leave a like, leave a review. You know, subscribe to it. Really appreciate it. Until we talk to you again, peace, guys. Hope you have a great 4th of July weekend if we don't get a chance to talk to you before then.